Horse by the Horns podcast. By the Horns. The Taurus by the Horns podcast with national and world champion pistol shooters Jesse Harrison and Casey Eusebio starts now.
All right. Hey, guys. Welcome back to this month's episode of Taurus by the Horns. We are your hosts, Jesse and Casey. Casey, why don't you tell us about this special guest we have this month?
Awesome. Today, we have a special guest. I've had the honor to serve in the Army with this man. He is a world and national pistol shooter. He has an infectious smile and laugh. Shooters all know and love him, Travis Sweetie Tomasi.
Woo! The crowd goes wild.
Oh, what an awesome intro.
Oh, man, they're
going
crazy. They're going crazy over here, man. Oh, my gosh.
Welcome, Travis. Thanks for being on the show with
man.
Us.
A lot of our listeners might not know about competition shooting, but this man has devoted a lot of his life to shooting and firearms. He might be one of the few active competitors that has shot longer than me. How many years have you been shooting for, Travis?
Yeah, so I started in 95.
Jeez, okay. Wow. Nice. I was in 96.
I don't know how many that is, but it's a lot. When did you start?
96.
1 year more.
But dude, the first time I saw Travis was in a Gun Games magazine.
What is Gun Games? I don't even know that.
Gun Games was big. It was...
Was this a West Coast thing?
It was a West Coast thing. It was started by Wally Arita. And he had Rob Latham on there. He had Carl Malone, who is a NBA player, the postman.
Any relation to
mailman.
Post Malone?
No. The mailman. That's the what mailman. They call him. The mailman. And then they had Travis on there, and Travis is a stud, man. Like, how old were you in that issue of Gun Games?
Oh, gosh. I think I was like 21 or 2.
Just a babe.
Oh, my gosh.
Just a baby, I can't believe it.
You still looked like the same, just younger. Like literally the style of human being is the same, just younger.
Yeah, I just found a 15-year-old video of you today, and you look exactly the same, just like you said, just younger.
Wow. Yeah, just younger.
15 years ago.
Guys, you're too nice to me. I'll take it.
I think you had jean shorts. In one of the photos. You did, didn't you?
Shorts.
Yeah.
I think so.
Travis, please bring those back.
It was sick.
I'll bring those in white tennis shoes.
Oh, my God.
I'll show up in a Corvette.
the LS1 engine.
Yes.
That's so funny.
Good time.
That video you saw of him was a reload video, right?
Yes, it was a reload. You were in the Army. You had on one of your Army polos, still bald or shaven.
Yes.
Not, we'll just say shaven. That's your choice.
Nothing wrong with bald.
Yep.
Just saying.
And you're reloading. Now, you have a ton of reload videos out there, and they're all extremely impressive.
Super sick.
This one, you're reloading, and before the first mag drops out of frame of the camera, your second mag is reloaded, and you're back on target.
That's insane.
It's got to be Photoshop.
That's what I said. That is not humanly possible.
Like, you must have some Filipino in you. Like, that's ridiculous. The eye-hand coordination, the eye-hand speed is unrivaled. Like, I've not seen anyone. A lot of people don't know this, too, but you're probably one of the more sound and the best technique I've seen out there. There's people like Todd Jarrett has great technique. Max Michelle has great technique. You
Jesse
as
Harrison
well.
Has great technique.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good technique. Yeah. But, like, you as well. Like, you have your technique is very textbooked, as I like to call it. Very
you
textbook.
You look effortless.
It's very effortless. It looks like you're not even trying.
Yeah.
You're
like your
sleep.
Yeah, you look asleep.
So sick.
It's awesome.
Amazing, guys.
Very
and
impressive.
coming from you guys, that's huge. Two of the greatest shooters ever.
Oh, keep going.
Yes, absolutely. So, you can. And really, when you say effortless, that has always been something that I've, has been a goal of mine, and just reducing like the antagonistic tension.
Yep.
So I like that.
Right.
Yeah.
I like what you just said.
So that's a great compliment. It means a lot to me.
What about that video you saw of him, babe? He was doing.
I had a question about this other reload video. You have a ton of them out there if you're curious. It was called, you were doing the 2x2. So you shot, reload. I think you shot a popper, reload, and shot the popper again before it fell, but I wasn't 100% sure because it was so fast. I wanted to see if you would explain that.
Yes. And Jess, was this one of the AMU pro tip videos, or was this something different?
I think you were, this is when you were with Remington. You were in your Remington jersey, and you had two poppers in front of you. I think you shot both of them and then reloaded and shot the second popper again before it fell. I think you're right.
I think you're right. And I know where this starts was, you know, Casey and I were doing a lot of those pro tip videos mm-hmm. for Shooting USA when we were in the Army.
Yeah.
And the first one that I did was going to be on the speed reload. And I remember walking out there and Max was going to be like my assistant. And he says, you need to do, you know, he was just,
<That's>
it's
amazing.
Okay, because I was going to be his assistant when he did his. So. And he says, and as we're walking out, he's like, you need to do something with this whole reload that is kind of out there that hasn't been done before and
right.
something original. Why don't you do this? Why don't you shoot the popper, hit it once, mm-hmm. reload, and before it hits the ground, hit it again.
Wow.
That's so...
yeah. Question.
It was an interesting idea. And so we did that. Yeah. Yeah.
How heavy or light was the popper set? I'm just kidding.
Probably standard.
Had it set so it wouldn't fall? Super fast.
Oh, yeah.
Just kidding. No, it's just like standard
yes,
set for
exactly.
a popper. Yeah.
And that was 40, right?
Yeah.
You're shooting 40?
Iron sight, guys.
Yes, I was. Well, that actual video, what we did is I used the Glock, and so it was a 9mm.
Oh my gosh!
Even more impressive.
It was a full size popper.
Yeah,
and it was set just to fall with 9mm. So yeah.
No, that's hard.
Yeah,
but that's
with a Glock.
Hard. Yeah,
yeah, that's a game changer right there.
And at the time, you were shooting mostly 1911s, 2011s. So like to shoot with a.
Yes.
Let's just say a bar of soap is what I like to call a Glock when you're holding it in your hands. It feels like you're shooting on camera.
It's not like you did it.
How many takes did that take?
Yeah.
It was like your first take or what?
No, I think actually that one, it took a couple.
Just a couple.
To be honest.
A handful?
Yeah,
you say a handful?
Maybe it was a handful.
Yeah.
That's realistic.
That whole day. Yeah. You know, that whole day, I remember we did another, I had to move everything over to another range and we did one on shot calling. And I wore this crazy. Do you remember that? It was like this pair of goggles that allows the instructor to see what you're seeing.
Yeah, oh, that's
but it was,
really cool.
It was super difficult to shoot speed with it.
Yeah.
But that yeah. So I don't really remember the other video that well.
I just have this image of you with like beer goggles on, trying to shoot and go fast.
That's exactly what it was like.
But your instructor's like, yeah, man,
analogy.
Looks great. Keep it up.
I remember that. That's funny, man.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was like.
I love it.
It was crazy.
The good
so that's
old days.
How your reload, like, because you're known for out on the internet for your fast reloads. And that's kind of how it got started with Shooting USA pro tips, you would say.
Yeah. That's so
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why I was known for a reload thing other than. So there was some video that I just had gotten out of basic training and Saul Kirsch.
Yep.
He was there to train with Max and I, and he videoed just in our office. He's like, "Can you do a few dry fire reloads for me?" I'm like, "Okay, whatever." And he's like, "I'm going to put it on YouTube." And I'm thinking, "This is who's going to watch dry fire on YouTube?"
how many views does that have now?
Oh, multiple. I mean, at one time there was one with 20 million.
Jeez.
There was
wow.
million. Yeah. Yeah. I never saw
a penny.
I had no.
Oh,
was,
yeah.
So,
Saul
I'm
just
so,
got so rich off of you. Because you know that's monetized.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. The video
yeah,
I found, the 15-year-old video I found, it wasn't even posted by you or anyone who
There's
knows
a copy
you.
Of that
it
video.
Was someone reposted that video on their page.
It's just a repost.
And it had 430,000 views.
Yeah, just a repost.
Yeah.
So corny,
oh,
dude.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Well,
that's
you know what?
Crazy.
It's really cool that people, you know, could
appreciate
see your
that.
Talent and appreciate the talent and see, you know, that's hard work. That's not just, hey, I just picked up a gun and I can do this. No, I've been dry
it's
firing
27
forever.
Years.
Yeah.
Of practice.
Yeah.
And repetition.
I like
that wasn't even 27 years. That was like.
Well, yeah, that wasn't 27 years ago, but you got 27 years in it.
Yeah, now you do. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, back in the day, Travis, I worked with Travis. He was one of my superiors in the Army. And Very talented man. This guy is a tinkerer, so he could fix his own guns. He could fix the team guns. He worked on his he had a Lightning at the time. He had a Corvette, a Porsche at the time with a LS1 or LS2 engine.
Man, you can't hide money.
Yeah, LS2.
LS2 engine. LS2. So I mean, he's a man of many talents. You know, a lot of shooters. I think I'm one of them. I can do a little field fixing, but he can really delve into his firearm and fix what's going on and other people's, along with also loading and, you know, all the ballistics of what he needs for his competitions. When you first started shooting, Travis, did you loaded your own ammo as well?
I did. Started on a 550.
Nice.
And I remember, guys, one of my, like, my first or second season, I did like 60,000 rounds on a 550.
No way. How bad was your tendonitis?
That's terrible.
I don't know how you shot developed. After that.
I don't either. That's a great question. Maybe being a younger guy and being able to
hungry.
Deal with that type of stress. Hungry. Yeah.
God. Could you imagine doing that now?
I wouldn't be able to do that today.
No, thanks.
Even on a 1050.
That would be my retirement right there.
No.
Even on a 1050, that's pretty tough, man. Like, what is it? 1,000 rounds an hour is if you're cooking, but obviously if you're doing like match ammunition, you're gonna back that down a little bit.
I'm gonna explain super quick for those listening who might not understand exactly what we're talking about. A 1050 or a 550, like Travis just mentioned, that's a reloading machine to where you're loading your own ammunition. And Travis explained to them on a 550, like you're putting the bullet on the brass, you're pulling the handle for every single round. Like, what's the difference between a 1050 and a 550 of what you were loading on then?
Exactly. So just as you said, you're manually inserting the case, the bullet, and you're manually rotating the shell carrier there. So everything is done from a manual standpoint. There's several stations, but you're still running everything. Yeah, you're still running everything manually.
Yeah, whereas I think like the 1050s, don't they have some stuff that's automated if you pay for those features to where it's a little less invasive physically for loading that ammunition? But I just wanted to give people an idea of what 60,000 rounds on a 550 was like. That's, you had to be super hungry.
Yeah, blood, sweat, and tears.
Super hungry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's the best way to describe it. Like, it's all I could think about was shooting, IPSC, practical shooting, completely obsessed with it. I didn't have a girlfriend. I was, I mean,
so you had plenty of time.
I had plenty of time. Exactly. And I was going to college at the time. And so I was taking like 15 credits and then also working. I had my own auto detail business. So,
oh, wow.
And I was the only, like today they call it paint correction, but I was doing everything. I'd clean the motor, the interiors, polish the paint, wax it. And that was what I was doing to, that was my income. And then besides eating and rent, the rest of it was spent on shooting everything.
And was this obviously was before the Army, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So how old were you when you joined the AMU?
Oh, I was, they call me grandpa. I was 29.
Which like 29. Like when you look back on it now, you're like, that's not really that old. But when you're in the Army, when you hear someone's 29, you're like, this guy's almost dead. Like,
he's just getting started.
Yeah. He doesn't have that much time left, but like, you're not that old. But to an 18-year-old, when most people join, you know, that's a older age for sure. But I mean, were not that.
Yeah, that's so interesting because I didn't realize, I mean, you had a life and job and everything going before the Army. Yeah. Like, I just know Casey started when he was 18 or joined when he was 18. So that's really cool to hear that you had something else in place, a career. So what made you make the decision to leave all that behind and join the Army and go shoot for a living?
Well, a couple of different things. So I invested some time in acquiring sponsors and wanting, at that point when I went into the Army, I was probably, had been top three at nationals and won more areas than I could probably remember right now. But just to tell you, you know, I hadn't won nationals or anything yet. Maybe was knocking on the door, and not really, and not good. I've never been good at approaching sponsors and even, I mean, approaching people in general.
You know? The introvert in you is very strong.
Exactly.
I love
exactly.
It.
And that pretty much sums it up. And I got to the point where, because I remember my first limited nationals. I'd mainly been shooting open up until then, and it was like 97. And one of the action shooting team coach of the AMU, he gave me his card. He's like, I'm interested in you joining. And I was like, well, I really appreciate this opportunity and that you'd be interested, but I'm going to figure out how to be on, I don't know, Team Springfield or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? And so unfortunately, it was like 6 years later, and I'm like, look, I need to...
Hey, but the opportunity's still there.
Yes, exactly. And so the way that it sort of worked out is I was on the open national team with Max, and he's like, why don't you come down to Fort Benning and practice with me before we go to South Africa? That's where the World Cup is going to be. And we you know, we trained for like a week, and he's like, why don't you come in? Why don't you do this? I can get you a slot on the team. And so I was ready.
That's awesome.
By the time I got back home, I was like, this is what I need to do.
Yeah.
That's
really cool.
Yeah. He was a
good time.
Very in the military, like even in the AMU, like we worked a lot, Travis. We had a normal Army day. We did our PT in the morning. I mean, there were days we ran 4 to 8 miles.
That's right. With
Robbie Johnson. I mean, he's a ex-Ranger who would, you know, make sure that we lived up to the Army standard, not just the Army standard, his Army standard. And we did, what did we do? We did some crazy PT. There'd be rock PT.
What is that?
Remember rock PT?
Yeah, you would have to pick up a boulder, basically, and throw it. And then go run after it, pick it up, and throw it.
Okay, so who's judging the size of the boulder?
Robbie.
I'm going to find the smallest one.
No, there was none of that. I mean, our team was filled with a lot of studs. Yeah. Like, literally, he's like, yeah, pick that rock up. And then like, oh, gosh, this sucks.
Those are glory days of the AMU, I feel like.
Oh,
we had a superstar team. The teams now, but there were so many superstars then.
Oh, man, that was great.
I mean, y'all were winning everything, every division.
Yes. And I saw a picture somewhere the other day, and I can't remember what year it was, but you had KC winning Steel Challenge, totally dominating Steel Challenge. You had Daniel Horner winning 3-Gun Nationals. Mm-hmm. You had, I had some stuff, Max, winning USPSA Nationals. And I'm looking at the team, I'm like, that is unreal, level of that team.
Oh,
unreal.
Yeah.
So strong. And then when we train out there, you just were in awe of what you had around you, the talent. You're just like, that's so amazing to see this quality of marksman next to me, and I get to train with this guy, you know. And sometimes it sucked. It was super hot, and, you know, we had a competition coming up, or we've had to do a demo for some colonels or some Rangers or some Air Force officers, and you just went and did it. But I mean, looking back now, I'm like, man, I had it made with such great people around me, and we had a great time.
I have a question really quick. Did y'all train together, obviously, if y'all were in the same like sport divisions, things like that. Did y'all help each other in training, or was it more like a personal mindset of, okay, well, I'm going to go do my training and I hope my teammates do well? Or did y'all get together and help each other? How was that environment?
I mean, I'll speak on that a little bit. I think we helped each other quite a bit.
Yeah.
If we wanted to work on something ourselves, we could definitely do that. But I mean, like, if you've got, you know, some raw and really experienced shooters shooting together, I mean, you want to shoot together and kind of pick up things. Even if they didn't have to say something out loud, you'd pick it up visually. Yeah. And then there'd be times like, hey, try this technique, or try doing this, try moving in this way. And I'm like, oh, man, that works great. Let's do that. This is the way to do it. So, yeah, we definitely helped each other.
I agree completely. Oh, I agree completely. In fact, looking back, I wish sometimes you don't know what you have until it's gone.
Yeah.
And you know, I knew there was something special about it. And the fact that I was surrounded by you guys, you champions, just the literally the cream of the crop. And, you know, if I could go back, I would have even got more out of it.
It's just like high school.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, I don't need this. I can just go. I could pass by with C's. Like, no, you should have tried your hardest. And I feel the same way. Like you said, like if I could go back, I would not change anything. But if I could go back, I would try to do more and get more out of it. Yeah, get more out of it and really absorb everything. I mean, as a 18-year-old, you're dumb.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, totally. No, but I mean, whatever, how old I was, I was dumb too. But it was always impressive. And, you know, and speaking on Jesse's question, in terms of like, a lot of times when we were training, you'd sort of break up with the other guy who was kind of shooting your division or whatever that may be, or that platform. But we never, and I agree with KC, was always there to help. And you would, I would look at KC and Max, the two most raging, incredible open shooters, but they were helping each other, and they would be duking it out at the match we're going to this weekend.
Yeah.
But they're still there to help each other. And then some of it is you just having that great competitor that you're training with is going to push you as well.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hugely. Yeah.
You're probably one of the most natural, talented shooters. You could shoot any platform. You know, like you said, you shot open starting into competition shooting, IPSC or practical shooting. And then, you know, you transitioned into iron sights when you came into the AMU. And I mean, you took to that very naturally. So in switching over to iron sights from open, you're able to even just grab a stock Glock and, you know, do what you typically do. You're so naturally talented. Do you wish that you worked harder because you were so naturally talented?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question, my friend. I think if I could go back to do anything, I would have directed my energies in certain directions a little bit better. Because even though I had some natural attributes, and then I was an athlete growing up.
Right.
So, right. But I think I could have been smarter in the way I worked. An example I would use is like, if we're talking about the reload thing, I mean, doing like 4 hours of those a day, ridiculous volume.
Yeah. And that's a lot.
It's a lot. Right. And that includes working and going to school at the same time. So it's like, right. I would have rather worked on other areas, like weaker, maybe pick out areas of marksmanship that would have gone, taken me further quicker.
Yeah.
Maybe it was sense. Like, you know, yeah. Yeah. Like,
that's how I feel, Trav. Important. Like,
yeah,
I was so natural shooting.
So natural.
And I felt like I just need to work this much because my competition won't beat me anyways. It doesn't
good
matter.
Good enough was good enough.
Good enough was good enough. And, yeah. You know, my mediocre is good enough to win. Like, that's like the worst mindset. I feel like going back, I wish I would have changed that because having natural talent and then also hard work ethic just makes you unstoppable, unbeatable, you know? So, like,
when
that's
when you combine those two, yeah.
I mean, look at Michael Jordan.
Yes, exactly. I
mean, he's natural, but he worked his butt off, man, to be who he was. So I mean,
he's a perfect example of that. Yeah. I mean, he was outworking just about anybody else out there along with that. Now I've seen you work hard too though.
Yeah, but
that's where you've gone though.
Yeah, but I was lazy when I was younger. Like I wish I worked harder or understood how to train properly too. I think is a big difference too. Like, I mean, you know, was 2009. I got out in 2009 and it's like over a decade, but just in those short 10-ish years, I mean, you understand how to train now. Like I can go to the range and shoot like 6 boxes or 300 rounds and be completely happy. Where back in the day, you'd have to feel like I better shoot 1,000 rounds or else I'm not getting good training in.
Yeah. I go through 1,000 rounds a day And every single day, not just a few days out of the week, 1,000 rounds a day. Otherwise, I didn't feel like I did my job.
Yeah.
And I wasn't necessarily focusing on any one thing. I was just throwing rounds downrange. But that's what I felt like I needed at the time.
Do you feel the same way now? Now that you're a little bit older and even more experienced, what's a training session look like to you? Do you go out there and work on weaknesses? Do you feel like, I work on a certain stage? Like, what do you do now?
So a drastic change would be the volume of ammo that I'm going to go to. So much less, right?
Yeah.
So much less. And then specifically target those weaknesses that have shown up in matches or other training sessions, and then really build it around that. And I want to, versus just sort of going out there with, I'm going to burn this much ammo and this much powder, I'm going to get something out of it. No, I want to have a specific goal and like have an intention. And sometimes, and I'm not the most organized guy out there, but it helps. It helps me to write down my intention. Like, why are you going out there?
What
are you doing?
Do you keep a shooting journal, Travis?
It's sort of a. It's not the most like.
Or just some sort
journal,
of like notes here and there.
Yes, I do, and then a lot of it. I will say, since I keep, I'm pretty simple minded. Like shooting is one of the most. It's like one of the biggest parts of my life, so it's something that pretty much always in my mind. And then like I can remember calling shots from like in a practice session from like 4 months ago.
Oh wow.
Which sounds weird, right?
No,
maybe like, yeah, you need to get out.
Like some Rain Man stuff.
No, I appreciate I like that stuff. And a big word that you said was intention. I love that.
Yeah.
That's like such a positive affirmation, intention of what you want to accomplish for your training session, for your day, for your week, for your month, to your year. You know, I think that's huge. I think that's really
I love that.
Smart word. I need to write that down myself. Yeah. How do you spell that?
That's a good question. I have to look it up.
I'll look it up
or Tagalog.
Yeah.
That's one thing I've always kind of said is practice with a purpose. If you're going to go to the range, have something specific, have your intentions known before you get there, like you just said.
Beautiful.
And I think you'll have a better quality practice session and you'll be able to see your progress better if you know what you're going to work on, as opposed to just showing up and saying, okay, well, let's just shoot a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Well, you don't really get to work on anything at that point.
Travis, you and I are alike, man.
Yeah.
You and I are very alike.
Much.
Like, he's a very raw shooter. At times, I would say you and I would lean more to the lazy side when it came to training because, like, why? I'm good at that, you know? Very simple-minded, you know? And we liked it. Me and him, we were on trips in the Army. I loved being with Travis because he would just laugh so hard. We'd make each other laugh so hard in the car. It was to the point where I almost peed my pants. Like, we were laughing
so much.
But
this is my everyday with Casey now. I laugh every single day.
Woo!
I love it.
Try to, man. If you can't laugh, man, like what's the point?
Yeah.
Like you got to enjoy
life. It's so good for you. I miss those times.
Oh yeah, we had a great time. Oh, I said sweet tea. Will you tell Jesse how you got that nickname?
I'm not. I got to be honest. I don't know where that comes
there's a lot of people that say. I mean, tea, double T.
Yeah.
You know, sweet tea. He's
is
a sweet guy.
Is it because you're sweet?
Well,
is it because you're nice?
There's a guy named Brad Thurlson. Brad Thurlson was in the shop for the Army Marksmanship Unit, and he was a civilian, but he was he used to be in the Army, and he was a hard dude. Like, he looked like he could squish a brick in his hand. He could just disintegrate bricks. Like, he looked like a small Hulk, you know?
Yes, and
he was
the word
always
smile was not in his vocabulary.
Yeah, he was always so dry, but when he saw T, because T has that infectious smile, would just go, sweet T, and give him a smile. You know, you're like, oh man, that's funny.
Oh,
that's really
I like it.
Funny.
I like it.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
And he's a sweet dude too. So
I
have a question for you really quick, Travis. You are probably one of the nicest shooters in the entire industry. You're always smiling. You're always super happy to see everybody. Are you really this nice?
Way to put him on the spot.
Yeah. Are you always this happy and upbeat? Or like when you walk away from something, you're like, oh gosh.
Just hang up. Travis, just hang up. Dude. Just hang up right now while you're ahead.
I'm not naming names. You can say it.
Well, I could answer that by saying I'm not always that
that happier that night.
I've seen him mad.
I feel like you have. Yeah. I do not want to see unhappy Travis.
No.
I feel like you could have like a rage side.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
that would be scary.
Those are the people that are nice like that.
Yeah.
Those are the people that you don't want to mess with, because Travis,
they have a flip side.
Dude, I saw him one time and he turned into like a grizzly bear. I was like, oh gosh, get away from him. If you're within arm's reach, he'll snap you in
half.
Don't
make eye contact.
Run.
What does it take to get you upset like that? Does it take a lot, or do you have triggers? You don't have to name them. But
no, it does. Well, I could tell, like, one trigger would just be, you know, people, a person's taking advantage of me.
Yeah.
And yeah, that, like, and then it builds up. But you, like, when you're nice a lot, like, you don't vent. And so these things are internalized and they build up. Yeah. And at some point, it might be some guy who didn't really mean
just
to.
Just complete innocent person. Yeah. Just catches the wreck.
A bystander.
Sweet tea turns into TNT.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
That's so funny, man.
Oh. That's good.
Yeah, he's a scary cat when he's angry. You don't want to make him mad.
Is your wife the same kind of disposition? Is she a complete opposite?
She's like the opposite. She's so sweet. She will tell you what's on her mind. So,
I love that. I respect that.
Yeah, me too. I do. I really respect it.
She's really nice. But she's really nice too.
She's super nice. Yes, absolutely. But she will tell me how she feels in an instant. And yeah.
And we need that.
And that's good.
Simple guys need that.
Yeah. Men and women don't speak the same language. Nope. So I'm constantly having to spell stuff out for Casey.
You have to. You tell me what to do and I do it. Like, I'm not going to read your mind, you know, because I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. That's a good understanding y'all have. Yep. That's healthy.
So
fun fact. Travis met his wife in the
AMU.
She was on the international rifle team. Is that right?
Oh, cool.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Two shooters, one household.
What's that rifle shooting consist of? Because I'm not familiar with those types of shooting teams. I'm familiar with y'all's pistol
team. It's small bore. It's like 22s. It's three position. It's all at 50 meters.
Wow.
Yeah. So very accurate. You know, super accuracy centric.
Like she's shooting at pencil eraser size stuff.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. The X, that their X is within the 10 ring. It's smaller diameter than the diameter of the bullet at 50 meters with iron sights.
Wow. Jeez.
Iron sights.
I know. I don't understand. Yeah. I don't. It's way over my head or capability.
That's crazy.
Have you ever tried to shoot any of the stuff that she shot?
The only thing I tried was some of the air rifle stuff, which is slightly different. I think it's like 10 meters and it's inside. Mm-hmm. And it's totally different than what we do. Mm-hmm. So it's so radically different where we have this, you know, and she's tried some IPSC as well. And it's like, you know, the speed element that we're involved in is a completely different. Mm-hmm. It's a different world, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And I can appreciate it.
You felt like a fish out of water.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I can appreciate it, man. Like when you see someone able to press a trigger without disturbing their sights, without disturbing the flight path of that bullet, I'm like, man, that is awesome too, you know?
I agree. Huge amount of respect.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
it's
huge amount.
And I don't like to talk down on any of the different disciplines, really. I mean, they're all hard in their own ways, man. It's if you're doing it out there and you're doing it at a high level, good on you.
I agree. Well said. That comes from a champion mindset that you can respect, you know, the other disciplines.
Yeah, I read it in a book.
I like it.
A coloring book. I think green is the best flavor.
Why don't we get into some of the meatier questions we have for this episode?
So one of the things we wanted to touch base on, you know, since we saw your videos and we've been seeing your videos on social media for, you know, over a decade, having the amazing reload videos with millions of views, like that's really cool. Want to kind of mesh the two things together, social media and instructing.
What? Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, hit one of those buttons.
I don't know what's what, so.
Yeah,
oh, crickets. Sorry, guys. I don't have my soundboard marked, so that was not what we needed.
Anyways, what do you do when somebody asks you for a good instructor? Like, what are the do's and don'ts for a good instructor?
Well, I think this is interesting because there's so many people instructing now,
yeah.
And mm-hmm. right? It's so dense and. Yeah. As a student, you really got to do your due diligence. And yeah. I think, I can say from when I'm teaching the competition classes, you'll have some students that have gone through 6 or 7 different instructors.
Yeah.
And it does give you a feel for the quality of instruction that's out there and the depth of not just, you know, what these people can do on the range in terms of shooting, but also how they can transfer their knowledge. And, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I think that it's important. You have to vet the instructor. You have mm-hmm. to find somebody that, yeah. And you even have people that are teaching competitive shooting that have never really paid any dues within the sport, you know? And I noticed that some students are attracted to like the way people run their social media or mm-hmm. how much sheer content there. And I got, I think the three of us, we don't spend all day on social media. I don't think.
No.
No.
It's a necessity for me.
It's a necessity. Exactly. I think that sums it up great. And we're more immersed within our craft and we're out there actually doing it and getting mm-hmm. better and learning more. And so I think that in my opinion, that's the type of consideration I think a potential student needs to have is to sort of weed through the sheer amount of chaff that's out there.
Yeah.
And find somebody that can ultimately help you obtain your goals and get you to be a better shooter.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, for our listeners out there, when I was a young buck at 18, I was tasked out to help Travis train some Air Force colonels. Air Force colonels, is that what they were, Travis? Do you remember that day?
That sounds familiar, yeah.
Everyone was gone, so it was literally me and Travis, and we were told, hey, go out on the range and instruct these Air Force officers. And I was like, okay, cool. And this is the day that blew my mind when it came to instructing. He was out there giving them the information and making the information palatable, very easy to understand and they were able to take that information and execute. And I was like, man, this is so cool. As a young 18-year-old, I'm like, okay, this is what real instruction is. You know, I knew how to shoot, obviously. I mean, at that point, I've been shooting for over a decade and I knew how to shoot and you knew I knew how to shoot, but there's a difference in conveying that message. And at the end of that day, everyone left happy as can be. There were much better shooters. There were much safer shooters. And, you know, we waved them off, and I looked at you, and you looked like King Arthur pulling out that sword from the stone. I was like, shining light. The sun was behind you. I was like, dude, this is it. This is an instructor.
I love it.
And I learned so much from that day, you know, and I always give you kudos. I think you're an amazing instructor. So there are people out there now on social media saying that I am a certified NRA instructor. Hey, I'm a senior instructor at this place. I think that's very, very dangerous because we're not out there, you know, just training somebody. It's not like it's golf, tennis, basketball, where if you give somebody poor instruction, what's going to happen? They're going to have a bad golf swing. You're going to look like Charles Barkley, or you're going to shoot the ball like you know, Shaq at the free throw line. No, you know, like if we give them poor instruction from a firearm standpoint, they can hurt themselves or even worse, hurt others too in the process. So like, it's very dangerous for a lot of these people on social media to say that they're a firearms instructors, when they've been shooting for 6 months, you know, like that's
a great point, Case.
It's very scary.
Huge.
It's very
scary. It really is. So it really is.
So for the people out there, if you're looking for a good instructor, I would say, you know, a Travis Tomasi is a great place to learn to shoot from, or anyone that's been shooting for a long amount of time in a competitive shooting aspect, is a great place to start, because one, they're going to make sure that you're safe, you know. Two, they're going to make sure that you're actually learning. And three, they're going to make sure you're having fun. Do your due diligence. Do your homework. Don't go out there and think that if I spend less money, I can save money and shoot more. I'd rather spend more money training and not have the amount of bullets I need to shoot, because at least now I know that I'm safe. And then the ammo is going to come. The training won't always come. You want to make sure you got that training. People come to me all the time.
So and, well said.
Thanks, man. I think a lot of people come and ask me, hey, who's a good instructor? And I'm going to give them the person I think would be the best for what they need. You know, have a few reference points. Call multiple people that are actually experienced. Don't just Google something and be like, oh, man, this guy's got a million followers. If you think a million followers makes you a good instructor, you need to reassess your thoughts.
That's not how you should scale your level of instructor by IG followers.
Well said.
That tells me they're busy on IG instead of training.
Right. And
Nailed it.
Another point I wanted to come across was, like, during training, like you said, if you're actually, you know, deep into your craft, marksmanship, shooting, that's our craft, you don't have time to really film yourself. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't have time for that. Like, I'm actually working on my craft. Like, if I got time to film myself for 30, 40 separate takes until I get the best one, like, that's not real shooting, man. Like, that's literally not real shooting. If you're filming and you're supposed to be able to do it one time if you're really, really good, which is what we do. We do it one time, and sometimes it sucks, sometimes it's great. But even if it did
just
suck,
like a match.
It's like a match or just like a competition in front of hundreds of people, in front of thousands of people. If it's televised or if it's put up on YouTube, it's always there, and that result is posted online for people to see how you performed. So, like, I don't think there's ever, like you said, there's never real time to film yourself when you're a real shooter. If you're a real real shooter.
Yeah.
You don't have time to film yourself, man. I'm sorry.
I have the intentions when we go to practice, just because I know, like, okay, I've got to get content for sponsors, things like that. Like we said, it is a pure necessity for me to do social media, that type of stuff. But by the time I get to the range and we train for what is my job, by the time I'm done, I'm already packed up. And I'm like, oh, well, I forgot to get content. It's because I'm working.
Yeah.
I don't have, like, that's not my main focus when I go to the range.
Yeah,
so, I agree completely. Guys, don't you think that at some point it's a distraction?
At 100% distraction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to give myself 110% on the range, and if I put a camera out, where I'm at, maybe 40, 50%, because now I have to pay attention to the angle of this camera. I've got to make sure that it's framed properly. I got to make sure that the sound is captured. Like, this isn't training, man. Yeah. This is theatrics.
I want to go full influencer mode and just hire someone to come and capture what I do at the range.
Well, then at that point, then you don't even have to worry about it. Let them do it. Yeah.
Good point.
That would be good.
No joking. That would be awesome. Yeah.
I watch
completely different level.
I love watching your videos that you put up there. I'm like, dude, I promise I was either first or second take. Because a lot of the videos I put up are first or second take. Like, I don't go, oh, let's shoot that again. Like, come on, bro. Like, that's not
that's
what
right.
it's about.
If mine's not first or second, it's because I didn't like my face or I felt I looked fat.
Yeah, or don't post it. Or maybe, you know, like, go work on your marksmanship, man.
That's right.
Like,
your hair wasn't right.
We don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about that, Travis.
We don't have to.
When there was a video you did, like, you have, like, I love your videos. You have a video where you have the camera downrange, facing uprange, and, you know, you shoot a piece of steel, reload, move, shoot a piece of steel. I like, those are, like, probably one or two shot takes. That's how good you are.
Well, I think that, you know, that's sort of what we do, and a lot of our life has been dependent on one take, and that's matches. I mean, right, you get one time to shoot a stage, and, you know, look at your guys' career. You've consistently succeeded when you've had one chance.
Really?
And
that's
way hard. Yeah, that's way harder than doing a social media video. I mean, you did it when everything was on the line, and there's people that live their whole life never be in that same situation. Understand the privilege of that pressure, and how you were able to succeed, and it puts a different perspective on a lot of this. Yeah. And like, that's another thing. Like, if you see some guy do something on a video, guy or girl, and it's like, I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, how many takes and then sometimes, I mean, I know somebody, you know, may just get complete, the stars align, and, you know, they somehow hit a 0.5 draw on a, an 80 yard field, I don't know.
I was expecting, you know, like a 5 yard.
Yeah. 80 yard.
Yeah. Yeah, that's more like it, exactly.
Every now and then. Yeah. Every now and then it connects.
You know, that's one thing I just heard you say. You said the privilege of being under that pressure, not burden. You said the privilege. That's really cool. Why did you say that?
So we have invested so much time and energy and ups and downs and blood and sweat to get to that point where we're in a position to win, that the reframing the idea of the pressure is not being a burden or something negative, but that, I'm here. I did it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
This is a privilege.
You're alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a... Being grateful of having another day here is a pretty good outlook.
That is true.
I like that.
That is true. I really like that, because a lot of people are scared of the adrenaline. A lot of people, it really just kind of makes them shut down, right? But when you say, you know, the privilege, or using that, for me, it's using that adrenaline to know that, you know, hey, does it bother you when your hands are shaking? Does it bother you your knees are shaking? Like, no, it means I'm alive. If that didn't happen, why would I be doing this?
Yeah.
That's really cool, man.
Well said. Yeah.
What's your training company called, Travis? So some of our followers and listeners can, you know, ask for some good advice from you or go take a training course from you.
Well, thank you for asking. It's just Travis Tomasi, and you could go to travistomasi.com and info on there how to set up a class. And
nice.
I would love to come out and teach you and help you reach your goals.
Heck yeah. I'm going to sign up right now. I already favorited your page. Perfect.
Awesome.
TravisTomasi.com.
He's got the t-shirt.
Yeah, that's awesome. No, Travis is one of the better instructors I've ever had the privilege of watching in my shooting career. So like, if you're looking for good training, hit him up, TravisTomasi.com.
I like it.
That is really cool. Who do you think are some good instructors out there, man? Like Max Michelle, great instructor. Give me some more people.
Yeah, Max is. You know, I got to spend a lot of time with Max.
Yeah.
We used to teach together. Actually, we had a funny name for it. What was it called? Double Impact or something like that.
Oh gosh.
We even came up with a name.
I think I've seen that on a video or something, dude. Like it's dangerous. Yeah. That's a dangerous name.
I know. I think there was
no one Googled
like
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't Google that.
Exactly. Don't.
You might get a virus.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, double M.
Oh shoot, guys. This was before the advent of the internet, so you didn't have those sites.
Yeah, we had flip phones back then. You can't even look that up on your phone back in the day.
Y'all know what I realized the other day, and I was talking to someone else about this, and it was about social media and how I simply do this for work alone. The three of us agreed on that. But if social media went away, I'd be perfectly happy and we would all three still have a job. Because we did this before social media came along. And I'm not trying to disrespect anyone who makes their living as an influencer. There's a place and time for that. But we three had a place in this industry before we had to prove ourselves with likes and followers. And I don't know about y'all, but I would be super happy if I didn't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah.
Super happy. Thank you. Yeah. I would like, that would be, I don't know if I should say this, but that'd be a dream come true.
Absolutely. I agree. I think things would be personal again. Everything's not so exposed. Yeah. I don't know.
I have Instagram. Obviously I post for my sponsors, but like I use it. I literally look at it and you see on my Instagram, I look at it for hunting. Food.
Cats.
Kittens, because I like cats. I'm a crazy cat. And sea otters. What else do I like? And, and like some sports. That's it. Like, I don't even look at shooting stuff on there. Because, I mean, it's our life.
Me neither.
Like, it's really tough.
I follow, like, my friends in shooting. Yeah. It's a handful. Yeah. But other than that, like, I don't. And I don't post a lot of personal stuff to social media.
Not too much, yeah. I mean, we're always doing something. Like, if you if you see, like, a heavy amount of posting, it means we're probably not doing anything.
Yeah.
Oh, you nailed it. I feel we're in I'm in good company.
Yeah.
Because I feel the same way, exactly.
That's so funny.
And guys, I would and speaking of great instructors, y'all are amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And,
thanks, man.
And absolutely, and you have the knowledge of how to transfer what you want to get across to the student, and you have the clout to back it up. And these, I don't know, to me, these are important. And maybe, you know, part of it stems back from when I started, and there wasn't many people teaching back then. No. And the people that were had been there, done that.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Have y'all ever taken classes from anybody?
I was just about to ask that. Have you, Travis?
I have not.
Me either.
That's why.
Me neither.
Yeah, you haven't either?
No.
None of us have.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
Well, our fathers. So her father taught her. My father taught me.
Yeah.
Did Squire teach you? Squire's his father, by the way.
Yeah, Squire. Yep, thank you. Yep, he absolutely did. Yeah. Because he'd been shooting like IPSC since like the mid-80s or something.
Yeah.
So like 10 years.
My dad too.
Before me. Yeah, so we all had, our pops helping us.
Yeah.
But I don't think any of us took a formal class.
Yeah.
I haven't.
So. That being said, that's why I have a little bit of a soft spot when I see kids on the range with their parents, and you know their parents are doing everything in their power to make sure that their kid can have fun or be successful in their endeavors. You know, so it's nice to see that for sure, because that's how we were raised. And every time I see a parent out there with their kids, I always like to ask their story and see, you know, what they want to do, what are their goals, and I kind of keep track of those kids.
Yeah.
Because one day, you know, they're going to be the future, and you've got to, you know, pay it forward.
Well, yeah, there's the next generation coming up. You know, when I was coming up in the sport, and I remember this very specifically, it was still challenged back in Piru in the good old days. And I was shooting on the ladies super squad when we still had those. And I remember Lisa Munson turned to me after I had just got done shooting Smoke and Hope Iron Sights. And I think I'd set the new ladies stage record. And she turned to me and she goes, I feel comfortable leaving everything to you and passing it to you.
Wow.
Something along those lines. And
that is freaking awesome.
It just shook me, because to me, Lisa was one of the ladies that had like paved the path prior to me. She was the first lady to ever make master, and that was the highest any woman had achieved. And she did it in limited. And
that's right.
I didn't understand how heavy that was in the moment. Like, it meant a lot to me. But now, being in the position like the three of us are in, like, we're the veterans of our shooting sport, and we have all of these young up-and-comers rising through the ranks, and I look at them, and there's two or three that I look at, and I'm like, okay, I feel good when
we're
I'm
safe.
Gone. Yeah.
We're safe. This
I feel feel like we can hand it down when we're ready.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that's so cool.
So it like it means so much more now. But you know, the level of shooters coming up, these young kids, I mean, some of them are just insanely talented.
Insane.
Has that happened to you, Travis, when you were shooting earlier in your career? Has anyone ever told you, okay, like something blew your mind, you're like, man, this is awesome. That felt good coming from, you know, a great shooter.
Yeah, I can remember a specific time was actually Mike Voigt.
Rest in peace, Mike Voigt. We love you.
Yes, we love you, my friend. It was interesting, you know, just being kind of new in the super squad. And I guess my first time was like 97 in my first limited national.
Jeez. Wow. After two years of shooting.
That's when you won your
After
first nationals?
No, for sure.
No, I didn't win it. Okay. I was like, I was like seventh or something, but it was like a standalone, you know.
Unreal.
There was Jerry Barnhart, you had the Burner, you had Rob and Todd, and all these guys, and you know, so talk about learning to love pressure. I looked up to these guys, and now I'm trying to beat them.
Yeah.
And and Mike had some complimentary things to say, much like Lisa.
Yeah.
Lisa, I told you, Jesse, and it was like I'll never forget it. It was really cool. And Casey, you've obviously had that.
Yeah. I grew up shooting with Mike Voigt, and you know, rest in peace, rest his soul. I had a dream about him a few months ago, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, I was in France.
Really?
It was so weird. I had a dream. I was in France.
That's the last place we saw him.
Yeah, and he was telling me some stuff, and I wanted to cry. Like, I love that man.
Oh,
but
me
too. Rob Latham, when I won my first steel challenge, I think I had won or I was about to win or something. I don't know. It could have been before that, but I still have it. He took his hat off. It was a Springfield hat, and he wrote on there, "You are the king, Rob Latham."
That's on your top of the cabinet at your house.
I still have that.
Oh, you still have it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. I wouldn't. Man. Oh my gosh! Like,
you know, that's epic.
Yeah, dude. Epic. And I look up to Rob Latham. You know, he's one of our greats. Like,
yes,
one of the best to ever do it.
Doing it.
Yeah, and still doing
still
it. And
still
winning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
exactly.
He would be like the Michael Jordan of our era.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. Just easily. Yeah.
Unbelievably talented. Could do anything, and to get at that from him.
Oh, that's unreal. That is so awesome.
Unbelievable. I still have it.
I would never get rid of that.
Yeah.
I would. Yeah, it's just so awesome. But it is a great feeling, man, to be able to see the legacy of our shooting sports from where it started to where it's going. You know, there's a lot of talent out there, and it's great to see that. You know, we have a healthy roster out there, and there's a lot of good people out there still.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that shows what y'all have done for the sport. And it happens with each generation cycled through. Mm-hmm. Y'all raise the bar in comparison to what the men before you did. But I think this generation has such a talented pool of competitors. Like we were talking about y'all's AMU generation team.
Yeah.
Like there's just, I mean, and all of y'all are still competing and winning and just doing so many great things within the sport. And I think that's just inspiring and paving the way for the next generation to come through. Like they've got some massive shoes to fill from what y'all have done. So
it's really cool. I think it's really cool, man.
Quick question. Yeah. This is going to be a fun one. Flip side. Have you received comments that were not so encouraging, helpful, that maybe fueled your fire?
Oh.
As you were up and
coming.
You
don't have to name anyone.
Yes. No names.
You don't have to name anyone.
Yeah, I won't name any. It's probably from a group.
We've probably all gotten one from the same person.
yes, exactly. Oh, but what a great question. Added so much fuel to the fire. You know, at that point, you need to make it work for you.
Yeah.
And right. Find a way to motivate you versus like going and choking them out or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, use this as, I would imagine we all have, I don't know. It's interesting because I don't think that I've ever done that to anybody.
No.
I hope I haven't.
No,
you would
never do that. Like, I've seen you mad, but you would never intentionally try to belittle or berate somebody like that, no.
No way. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question, though. Yeah.
Well, Travis, we have some fun kind of rapid fire questions for you. If you want, since we're kind of wrapping this down. All right, we will start with, and I just answer what comes to mind first. Don't overthink this. Are you ready?
Yeah.
McDonald's or Burger King?
McDonald's.
What's your number one order at McDonald's? What's your go-to?
Oh, I don't really eat there.
He's healthy.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes I go there for breakfast before men. Yeah, actually a grilled salad. Yeah.
Well, you have to eat there when you travel on the road so much. Like, obviously you like to eat healthy. You've always ate healthy. You brought your own chicken breast always to the range. I remember those days.
Wow.
But when you are traveling and you're shooting, you're on the road, you don't always have the luxury of being able to eat the proteins, the clean proteins you want to eat. So when you're at McDonald's, which you typically might have to go to, what would you order?
That's true.
Yeah.
So I would like, if I'd really want something, I'd want like a Big Mac or a quarter pounder.
What did I just word
he
to
just
you?
Just mouth Big Mac to me.
Yeah, you look like a Big Mac guy. I love it, dude. I'm gonna agree with the man. I'm gonna agree with you, but I'd probably get like the two cheeseburgers and like 10 chicken McNuggets. If I'm gonna indulge, I'm gonna do it right.
I usually go for the quarter pounder with cheese, a Dr. Pepper, and then a small strawberry shake.
That's very
to dip
clean.
My french fries in.
That's
beautiful.
Very clean.
Oh.
Okay.
Yes, I love it. Dr. Pepper's awesome, too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm new to that.
The spicier, the better.
Yeah.
Yes. My wife trained me.
We got another one here for you. All right. Biceps or triceps?
Oh, man. I like training. I enjoy training triceps. And I like the, I try to stay some, symmetrical, but I find
answer
that,
the question. Stop dancing around, man. Come
okay.
on.
I know.
Biceps or triceps?
Okay. Tricep.
Nice.
Sweet tea, yeah. Tricep Travis.
Yeah. I think you're right, man. I think triceps all day. I think triceps make your arms look bigger. Great for pushing a little bit. Biceps are different, man. They're more of that pulling muscle. It's a lot more of a beach body feel. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I like triceps more. I like to work biceps more, but I think triceps are more important. Thoughts?
I think you got to be well balanced.
Yeah, obviously.
I mean, I don't know. I think both, they complement one another, but one without the other makes the other look a little blah.
Yin and yang.
Yeah.
Yes, well said.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
From an observer of biceps and triceps.
Yeah.
Okay. If you weren't in the Army, what branch would you have chosen?
Air Force.
Air Force.
Dude, that's
nice.
Smart.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. Yeah. That is very, that's a experienced man right there. Those, the Air Force peeps are, cause I went to Air Guard after I left the Army for a bit and, man, they're super nice. They're so nice. Going by first
like
name.
That.
What's up, John? Not much, Steve. Sounds great, Linda. Like, what is this place? These guys are super nice. All right. Both of us have the same hairstyle, which is very little. Razor blade or electric shaver?
I do razor blade.
Damn, okay.
That was a quick answer. He had that one ready.
I use an electric shaver on my face, and I also use it on my head to prep it for the razor blade.
That's not efficient, though, I'm finding.
Yeah, but if I go straight razor blade, it just hurts too much. I don't use shaving cream. I just go straight up electric shaver.
You got to lather it.
No, and then I just put a little bit of body wash on there, and boom, then I hit it with and it's short from the electric shaver, and then I'm done.
Travis, what's your standard procedure?
What's your go-to? How do you do this?
Okay, so I've taken to doing it in the shower. I have a mirror in there, so like my skin is all warm and it's hot. And I do use shaving cream.
Oh, very nice.
I use shaving cream on my face and my head.
What brand shaving cream?
Oh, man.
Is it the Barbaro? Like the red and white striped can? Is it Edge?
It's not that one. It's like gel. It's really good.
Oh, it's a gel to foam.
In my head.
Nice.
Yeah, it's called, what the heck is it called? My wife buys it.
That's a good wife.
I love this.
That's
it's
a good
Nivea
wife.
For men. Nivea for men.
Oh, that is nice. Fancy. Yeah. Very classy of you.
We can't afford that in our household.
Yeah. He doesn't even get shaving cream.
Yeah. Sometimes I just, after I brush my teeth, I just spit out that and put that on top of my head, dude. We're poor. We're Filipino over here.
Oh, no.
All right. Last one. Cat or dog?
Dog.
Dog.
He has what type of dog do you have? A?
English Bulldog.
He loves
him. Oh, cute. What's its name?
His name is Gus.
Fitting.
Gus. I like Gus. Yeah.
Very, very fitting.
What color is he?
So he's what they call a lilac tri. So he's like, lilac is like a bluish gray color, but then he's also got like a caramel color and a white chest.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
He's super cute in the videos.
Thank you.
I've seen, yeah.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Super
Thank
cute.
You. He's a good buddy.
Oh, I love it. Does he travel with you at all, or he stays home?
He pretty much stays home unless we're going like on a quick family vacation, so to speak, then we take him. But for teaching in matches, he has to stay home, unfortunately.
Can he skateboard?
Yes, he can. No way. It's like naturally. It's weird. Like, I'd like to work on it some more and get into like downhill for him and stuff like that. But
downhill slalom.
I want to give him a slalom.
Yeah,
wow.
Exactly.
That's cool.
Yeah, but like even as a puppy, he would get up on it.
That's also.
That's
cute.
Amazing.
Yeah,
I love
it. Crazy. It's like within their blood or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Good scent.
He's bred
good
for skateboarding.
Balance. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Travis, what before we go, what's your match schedule look like? Hopefully we can see each other.
Yeah, in fact, I was going to try to shoot with y'all at Area 5.
Oh, sick.
Oh, please do.
Yeah, let's squad together.
If you don't mind, that would be huge.
That's my birthday really weekend.
Yeah, we'll celebrate Jesse's birthday
let's
too.
Let's do it.
Outstanding.
Awesome. Yeah, and then I'm trying to hit like 6 or 7 areas this year if I can, and then Nationals.
Yeah,
we're shooting all of them but Area 2. We're signed up for all of them
awesome.
But Area 2.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's get squatted.
Okay, so I'll see you a lot. Yeah, that would be huge. I think I'm going to miss 3, and I think 3, and I don't know about 2 yet. But
cool.
Okay. Love to shoot with y'all. Possibly.
Very cool.
Absolutely.
Oh, and one more thing. Sorry. I've told you how much I love hunting now, Travis. Like, and I still want to get you out there. So we gotta plan on something for you to
please.
You know, get some blood on your face. You need a blood juice. So like, what do you think would be an animal that you'd like to harvest? Like a first animal that you like to harvest.
So considering I've only done birds and turkey. I haven't done turkey. Sorry.
Yeah.
Just birds and ducks and pheasants, things like that. I'm ready to do something that walks on the ground. And I would look up to you as I do to guide me in what you think is the best way to get me started.
Sweet that's an awesome answer.
Yeah, I'm super into it. Maybe we'll do a Taurus and Masterpiece Arms hunt together or something, and
I love that.
Let's go to Texas.
Texas is fun
Texas
for beginners.
Easy. Yeah, yeah.
It's
Texas
fun for
is easy.
Yeah, new hunters.
Yeah, it's basically South Africa over there, man. Like, they have everything over there and a ton of land.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Maybe, that sounds amazing.
Maybe we'll talk to Brett, our CEO, and then you could talk to Phil. That's your CEO, right? Phil Casher?
Yeah. Yep.
And
Phil Casher from Masterpiece Arms.
Yeah.
Yep.
Phil, if you're listening, we're hunting. So we'll
and Brett
if you're listening, we're hunting. We got to take Travis. Yeah. He needs to.
Let's do it.
We'll have a blast, man. But
great brands that collaborate.
There you go. Yeah. Thank you so much, Travis, for spending this time with us. This won't be the last, but thank you so much for being with us, sharing your wealth of knowledge, your background, and everything in between, man. Really, really appreciate you having the time to talk to us on the show.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate the opportunity. It means a lot to me, and I hope we can do it again.
Oh, we will.
Absolutely. Yep. Thanks, Travis. Guys, make sure y'all check out and follow Travis on IG. It's at Travis Tomasi, or visit his website for training at travistomasi.com. And make sure y'all subscribe to Buy the Horn so you don't miss out on episode drops. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, Google, or Amazon. Let us hear from y'all. Send in your questions, topics of discussions, or even guests you might want to hear from. Send it to us at podcast@TaurusUSA. Thanks again for listening to Taurus by the Horns, and we'll talk to you next month.
The Taurus by the Horns podcast.
By the Horns.